Recently, Danielle and I got cable. It's the first time we've had cable in our married lives. So we've gone about 9 years without cable, and we've made it just fine without cable. You don't need cable to survive. But you know, we've used Netflix or watched shows on the computer a day after, a week following. But we decided, well, you know, there was a good deal on cable, so maybe we'll get cable. Boy, what a world we've opened up. We're trying to decide whether that's a good thing or not still. But it's interesting to see what the world sees sometimes. And we'll carefully be guarding our TV. But we sat down the other evening to watch a television show, and we turned the TV on, and we had the TV set on the Discovery Channel, and because of a particular program that we had been watching earlier that. So we turned the TV on that evening, and there was a show on the Discovery Channel entitled My 600-Plus Pound Life. And the show was about a woman who was 730-some pounds. And it was a documentary about her life and how she went through life living her 600-pound or plus pound life. And we were just fascinated and kind of in awe, almost like watching a train wreck, really. We couldn't take our eyes off of what was happening, watching this woman's life. And, you know, we know some people are predisposed to medically to gain lots of weight, but as we watched this woman before we turned our show on, as we watched this woman, we heard what she said. She said, well, you know, I just would always eat until I was full. You know, I figured that's what, you know, I was supposed to do. I viewed my body as something that just needed to be fed, and I would feed it, and that was it. You turn the channel to the Learning Channel. It's interesting how the Discovery Channel, the Learning Channel, they used to be channels of education. It's a different sort of education now, I suppose. But you turn to the Learning Channel, and you see people doing weird things to their bodies, distorting their bodies into something other than human. You can find people who desire to be other animals. And so they will have plastic surgery and change their bodies so that they look more and more like cats or dogs. They'll have implants of whiskers and have their ears altered to look more like cat ears or dog ears. And it's amazing what people will do with their bodies. And I think what you believe about your body has a profound impact on what you do with your body. You can turn on the National Geographic Channel and look at the various tribes around the country, and you can see that people will stretch their lower lip out and put big wooden discs in, or people in other parts of the country will put rings around their necks to extend their necks. Or you can just walk into the mall and see the young teenager with the very large pieces of wood in their ears. And people are even beginning to put clear fixtures into their mouths so you can see inside their mouths even when they're closed, see their teeth and things like this. It's amazing what people do with their bodies. And I wonder what you think about your body and what it's for. The world has a multitude of ideas of what the body's for. But I wonder what you and how you view your body and what is done to your body. I had an interesting question come to me at school this past week. This past week, we spent some time just fielding questions, a Stump the Chump session all week long, where the students would ask me questions, and I would try to answer their questions. And one of the questions that these Christian students were asking was this: is self-harm a sin? Is self-harm a sin? Now, self-harm, is what they were thinking of, is doing damage to your body in one way or another. And you'll know that some people who have perhaps suicidal tendencies may cut themselves, or people who are guilty, over guilty, have guilty consciences, will hurt themselves to try and atone for the own guilt that they feel. And they were wondering whether something like that was a sin. And so we tried to answer this question: how do we view the body? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? And I want to talk about that this evening. How do we view our bodies? Because I think even as Christians, we can have a wrong view of our bodies. We might not do anything extreme like have plastic surgery to turn ourselves into other animals or put fixtures in our bodies to distort it some way. But sometimes I think Christians can use their bodies in ways that are inappropriate as well. A lot of people like to take Christian liberties too far. I know a lot of people, a lot of Christians who think it's okay to engage in alcohol. I don't want to comment on that this evening or not, but they take the Christian liberty to the point of even borderlining intoxication. Is that a good thing to do or not? The debate's coming into the political arena about the legal use of marijuana. What is a Christian supposed to view? How is a Christian supposed to view that and the impact of marijuana on the body? But even working, do we abuse our bodies whenever we work? I have the tendency to view myself as a machine and just push myself as if the machine's just going to keep running at full strength all the time and don't recognize that I can break my body, I can damage my body. Some of us are very hard workers. We want to work hard, and we push our bodies too far. Is that a proper thing to do? What we think about our body impacts what we do with our body. Maybe some of us eat too much. Maybe some of us don't eat enough. How are we to view our bodies? What is a proper view of the body? How should the people in the world view our bodies? How should a Christian view the body? And I think one of the helpful places to start as we think about how we should view our own bodies is in the very beginning. God tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, something very profound. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Look at what God says here. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Genesis tells us something very important about man. Genesis tells us, Moses records for us, God tells us that man is made in God's image. And it's not just our spirits that are made in God's image, but God wanted to make man in his own image. And we read further down what we see. God creates man in chapter 2 out of the dust of the earth and makes woman from the man. His spirit and body, soul and body, that is the image of God in man. And so when we think about the image of God, we must include the body as well. And this is a helpful perspective to have when considering or having a proper view of the body. If you were to walk into my house, if I were to have you over for dinner, not to eat you for dinner, but to have you over to eat dinner with us, and you were to walk into my house, and you came into the entryway, and you the entry when we walk in, and you looked to the right, and you saw a picture of my wife on the wall. And you walked up to the picture of my wife on the wall, you looked at the picture, and you took the picture off of the wall, and you threw it down on the ground, and spit on the picture, and then began stamping on the picture of my wife. How do you think that would make me feel? I'd be pretty upset, wouldn't I, that you're doing this to the picture of my wife? Why would I be upset? You didn't do that to my wife, did you? You didn't come in and grab my wife, throw her to the floor, and spit on her and step on her. You never would have made it that far, by the way, just to let you know. But you didn't do that to my wife. You just did it to her picture. Why would I be upset? Well, the picture is a representation of my wife herself. It's an image of my wife. And the feelings that you express towards this representation of my wife is the feelings you're expressing towards my wife as well. Anything you do to that image, that picture, is as if you're doing it to my wife herself. You see how this can influence our view of the body then. If we do something with the image of God, do something to the image of God, it's as if we're doing it to God himself. And so the world damages the body. The world distorts the body. It corrupts the body. It harms the body. Uses the body for things that it was not intended to be used for. Damaging the image. Affecting the image. And effectively trying to damage the God. Not viewing the body properly has consequences. And so as people living in this world, Christian or non-Christian, Being made in the image of God has a profound impact on how we view the body and what the body is for. You do damage to the image of God. It's as if you're doing damage to God himself. And so we want to be careful what we do with the body, because we do, when we use our bodies, we're using the image of God. And so we want to use it properly. But for the Christian, I think there's even more reason to consider how we use our body. There's an even greater reason given to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 and following. Paul gives us an additional perspective on our bodies as Christians, not just as created beings made in the image of God, but as Christians. Listen to what Paul says. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Your bodies are members of Christ. And so, through redemption, God has united us to Jesus Christ, both soul and body. Paul says, your bodies are members of Jesus Christ. We call this a mystical union. It's a mystery to us how we are united, both soul and body, to Jesus. But Paul says we are united. We are members of Christ. Listen to what he says. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? And Paul's emphasizing the fact that we are members of Jesus Christ. And the implication here is what we do with our bodies, we do with Jesus Christ. We are extensions of Christ's body on the earth, as it were, because we're united to him. And so what we do with our bodies, it's as if we're doing it with Jesus. And so Paul says, shall I unite Jesus to a harlot? It was popular in those days to go to temple prostitutes or harlots. The body was viewed very low in those days. Most people thought the body was an evil, corrupt thing. It's something that would pass away. You would be liberated from your body. So the things you did with your body didn't ultimately matter. Do what you want with your body. It's going to go away anyway. It's evil anyway. It doesn't matter what you do with it. That's kind of the perspective that the world has today, isn't it? I mean, you're going to die eventually, right? Have fun while you can. And perhaps that's the perspective many Christians have. Maybe that's the perspective you have. I'm going to discard this body anyway. I'm going to enjoy eating meat now and eating all this ice cream now or whatever it may be, getting all the pleasure I can now with my body, because it's just going to go away anyway. It's an improper view of the body, because we will be united once again with our bodies. But the common perspective in Paul's day was that the body would go away, so we'll do with it as we please. And so Paul's saying, don't go and unite yourself with a harlot, with a prostitute, because you're united to Jesus Christ, and it's as if you're taking Jesus to this prostitute as well. It's as if you're taking Jesus by the hand and walking him into the brothel. What does Paul say about that? Certainly not. God forbid, may it never be, Paul says. That's an unthinkable thing, isn't it? And yet that's what Paul is trying to draw to our attention, that what we do with our bodies, we do with Jesus Christ. Modern day application here. When you open up the computer and call up the website you ought not to be looking at. And David Murray makes the illustration that when you look at what you do on the internet, it's as if you're taking Christ's eyes and using his eyes to look at what you're looking at. Even the movies we watch, the TV shows we watch, do you not know that you are members of Jesus Christ? What you do with your body, you do with Jesus. You're united to him. So think about that as you eat, as you drink, as you don't eat or don't drink, or as you push your body in working hard, long hours, whatever it may be. What you do with your body, it's as if you're doing it with Jesus himself. First thing Paul identifies for us. Secondly, Paul continues on the same idea, or do you not know he was joined to a harlot as one body with her? The two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So he's continuing that idea of the sexual sin. But look at what he says in verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? So first, Paul tells us that we are united to Jesus, and that which we do with our body, it's as if we're doing it with Jesus. But Paul then tells us that we're not only united to Jesus, but we're temples of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has taken up residence in us, in our bodies. What would happen whenever God's presence would take up residence on the earth somewhere? Moses in Exodus chapter 3 comes to the burning bush. God's presence is there. And what does God say to Moses? Take off your sandals. Why? The place on which you stand is holy ground. Was the dirt special? No, the dirt wasn't special, but the place was sanctified because God's presence was there. It became holy. The same thing with the temple of God, the tabernacle and temple. God's Spirit would descend, His glory would descend into the temple, and everything was holy unto the Lord. Paul's saying that God's Spirit has taken up residence in you. Your body, your physical body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean for you and your body? What have you become? You've become holy ground. And so what you do with your body, you do with the temple of the living God. Could you imagine in the Old Testament era taking a big hammer or a big stick and running up to the temple of God and hitting it? What blasphemy that would be. Or defacing God's temple in some way. Or damaging God's temple in some way. Or leaving God's temple in disrepair. Not caring for it, not nurturing it, not keeping it in good order. It's a terrible thing to think about, God's temple being violated or not taken care of. It's God's dwelling place. Paul says that's your body now. God's Spirit dwells in your body. Do you care for God's temple? Do you preserve God's temple? Or do you harm God's temple in some way or another? Think about that as you view your body. You're not just united to Jesus Christ so that what you do with your body, you do with Jesus' body. But you're also the temple of the Holy Spirit. What you do with your body, you do with the temple of the living God. So treat it well. Paul continues on, gives us a third view of the body, a third way to view the body. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Whether you like it or not, you no longer belong to yourself. And praise God for that. Because Jesus Christ purchased you with His own blood. You belong to Him. You are no longer your own. But you belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the best place to be. But think about the implications of that. Your body is not yours anymore. And so you need to be careful what you do with your body, don't you? My uncle was a United States Marine. And he fought in the Korean War. And during his time of active service, he had a week of leave. And during his week of leave, he decided to go to the beach. That's a nice place to spend your leave. Well, he went down to the beach, sat on the beach, reclined in his chair, had a little bit too much to drink that day, and ended up passing out on the beach. And he laid under the hot sun all day long. Can you imagine what laying out under 6 hours of direct sunlight would do to your body? Not moving over, not putting any suntan lotion on or anything like that. When somebody woke him up, he was so sunburned that he had sun poisoning. And he was vomiting, throwing up. Nobody could touch him because he hurt so badly. He could not function anymore. He was almost court-martialed because of what he did. And you want to know what the charge was being brought against him? Damaging United States government property. You see, when he signed the papers to become a United States Marine, he signed over himself and he became property of a United States government. The government trained him as a Marine. They made him a weapon, of the United States government. That's what a Marine is. It's a weapon of the United States government. He damaged United States property. It would be the same if he went up to a tank and began spray painting a tank or putting a grenade in the track of the tank and blowing the tank track off of the tank. The same thing. He damaged U.S. property because he was no longer his own, but he belonged to somebody else. So what he did with himself, he did with someone else's property. You are no longer your own. You are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. You no longer belong to yourself. And so what you do with the body that you have, you do with someone else's property. Property of King Jesus. So how do you view your body? You're united to Jesus Christ in such a way that what you do with your body, you do with Jesus' body. You are united to Jesus in such a way that you have become a temple of the living God. What you do with your body, you do with the temple of God. And you have been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. And so what you do with the body that you have, you do with someone else's property. The Lord of Glory's property. I don't have any specific applications for you this evening as far as this is concerned. But as you live your life and think about the different things you use your body for, what you eat, what you drink, how hard you push yourself at work or in play for that matter, think about this perspective, what your body is, who you are. Just as an aside, sometimes I'll get questions about tattoos. I get a lot of them at the school. Pastor Gregor, what do you think about tattoos? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Should I get a tattoo? This is what I want to get. Should I get this? And of course, they come to me, because if you've been around me long enough, especially when I'm giving the benediction, something stands out, doesn't it? And so they come to me expecting to hear me say, yeah, go for it. Go get a tattoo. That's great. And just as a point of information, I got this when I was 17, 18 years old. I hadn't thought through the implications at that point in my life. I was just excited I could go out and get a tattoo. That's great. You'll notice it's a Jesus fish, by the way. It's not a demon doing something like that, right? So I tried to be good about it. But how should we view tattoos in light of this teaching? And this is exactly what I do. When people ask me, what's your view on tattoos? Should I get a tattoo or not? I don't tell them yes or no. I don't tell them outright that it's a sin or it's not a sin. Go ahead, do it. No, don't do it. But I take them to this passage of Scripture, and I walk them through these various views or perspectives on the body. First of all, you're an image of God. Secondly, what you do with your body, you do with Jesus' body. Thirdly, what you do with your body, you do with the temple of God. Fourthly, what you do with your body, you're doing with someone else's property. Think about that. I'm not telling you yes. I'm not telling you no. I'm not giving you the go-ahead. I'm not telling you to stop. This is something, a decision you need to make in light of Scripture's testimony on the matter. You need to make this decision in your own conscience and be right before God about this, given the perspective that you have. Are you willing to make a permanent change to something that does not belong to you? Are you willing to make a permanent change to the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to make a permanent change to the body of Christ? Just think about the implications of what you're doing with your body. Like I said, I don't have very many specific applications beyond this, but just to help you think more clearly, give you a proper view of what your body is and how we should care for God's temple. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you.